when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you precious, precious Blood River Radio family members out there, the precious Blood River Radio family members that keep us on the air with their great, great support, with their financial sacrifice. We will mention those three of those in just a minute. Anyway, who are we? We are Blood River Radio. We are the only radio station in the world that I know, the only media in the world that I know that we have our only one purpose. We were created, and that's to fight the ongoing, yes, folks, the ongoing, right now as we speak, systematic campaign to exterminate every last white person on the earth. The people that are our enemies, they hate you with the most virulent satanic hatred. It's a hatred that you white Christian people cannot even fathom. You don't have the ability to think that bad, that low, that evil, that satanic. So that's what we're here. That's for our purpose. So my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. This is today. The date is October the 26th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2024. I've said it a thousand times and I always will say it because it's just as true. There's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. I believe that at the bottom of my heart. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. If we had time, we'd throw out a few scriptures out there. If we get slow, we might do that, but I don't think we're going to get slow tonight. By the way, folks, you know another drill we have. We always, before we do anything, we say a prayer. So if you will, I'd like you to bow your head just for a few minutes. Even if you're not a Christian, if you were just out of respect, we would do it for you. Take your hat off, whatever you got to do, and bow your knee. Let's say a prayer. Almighty Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of John the Baptist, the God of Jesus Christ, the God of King David, the God of Eddie Miller and Blood River Radio and TPC and the God of Liberty News Radio. Thank you so much for being here, Lord. Thank you for staying with us here and guiding us through this horrible battle in life that we are facing. We are facing the devil, Lord. And, Lord, it is said that we should not hate. Well, we don't hate our enemies. It says we don't. Well, you're not supposed to hate your friends, but we're not to hate our enemies. We're supposed to love our enemies. But we can hate the enemies of God, and that's who we hate, and that's who we're sworn to do battle with. So, God, if you will, just I'm going to bring it to a head here. Please give us the wisdom and the discernment to know who the enemy is. We know. And give us the courage. Never, ever let us back down from the battle, Lord, to charge full speed. Always let us ride to the sound of the gunpowder. As our buddy, our hero from the Lincoln's War, Stonewall Jackson said, give them the black flag. Kill them all. Let God sort them out. That's pretty much our motto. It's either kill them or kill us. I agree with Stonewall. Anyway, folks, we ask Alice in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, four fellows, we have our donors tonight. We have Sister Pam and Brother Dennis Adams. Oh, man, they're some of the finest people, greatest friends a man could ever have. And they, you know what, they caught through hell. They went through hell in that huge storm, that hurricane they had up there. They're in Virginia, and their woods, Pam said, told me that their woods in their area there got tore all to hell. She said it may never regenerate. It won't regenerate in their lifetime. Anyway, also we had Big Ben Ken Burroughs of Lynbrook, New York, another staunch man who donates day in, day out. He never misses a beat. And good old Biscuit, good old Biscuit down there in the swamps fighting alligators and stuff just to get to work. Biscuit is another. Without Biscuit, I'll just put it bluntly and frankly, there would be no Blood River Radio. So thank you so much, Pam, Dennis. Thank you so much, Ken and Biscuit. Also, Miss Buddy. Miss Buddy was the wife of Mr. Buddy Kirtland. She'll be Miss Buddy until the day I die. She sent in another donation, and I appreciate you. So appreciate that so much, Miss Buddy. Thank you so very, very much. They gave me a Jeep, too. I still have this beautiful Jeep that when Mr. Buddy died, it's in 1983, and it's in my driveway. And it's, I love it. It's beautiful. It looks like it's brand new. Anyway, so thank you so much, precious donors, precious family members. quick outline. Before I forget, we're going. We may have to. We can. I was just talking to Miss Teenage America about it. If we can, we're going to record a program Tuesday because all you people know I'll be leaving Wednesday. For Nashville. From Nashville, we fly out to New York, be up there for the New York Marathon. Sadly, I won't be able to run it this year. It's been forwarded over to next year because I was out for 6 weeks with horrible illness and missed so much training time. But they're working with me real well. The New York Marathon people are working with me, so they're taking all the money, all my fees, and it's rolling over to next year. Also, of a quick note, I spoke to Don Wassel the other day, spoke to him today. He was one of the founders of the Populist Party, which I was a member of at one time. It was the fourth largest party in the United States. He will be coming on he'll be coming on the same day, Warren Balog. Excuse this hack, y'all. I've tried to do too much today. I've tried to run. I've tried to lift weights. Tried to do all this other stuff. And I'm a hot type triple A personality. And I'll need two brains because I've got three mouths. But anyway, they'll be coming on November the 16th. We don't know exactly what hour yet, but those two will be coming on. I'm really excited about that. Also, I talked to Jacob Goodwin today again. He may call in hour two. He's under severe restrictions. You know, he has to clear to make sure it's okay. But we'll talk more about that later. Also, I may have told y'all I talked to Lee Wilson, who was the chief investigative detective for the McMichaels. They're going to come on, you know, probably want to come back to New York, maybe the 16th. If not that, it's not then, the week after. They're extremely, extremely, extremely busy and overworked. Anyway, okay, second hour is going to be continuing on with our guest. I'm going to introduce him in just a second. And third hour, and we have another fellow, maybe Tom Bowie. We'll probably try to reach him somewhere around 4:30. Midway through the second hour, somewhere around there. And with the third hour, we have Paul Fromm on. So that's it for tonight. That's the thing. I was going to start my score source policy, but before I do that, I decided to go ahead and introduce our guest. And I think I'm 95% sure I found a fellow absolute fire-breathing, napalm-dropping, young, white, Christian nationalist. And he's much younger than I am. I'm really glad. I want to get some younger people on here, some young blood. He's only 29 years old. And his name is Tennessee Ben. And I'm really excited. Like I said, I'm really excited to have him on. Well, how you doing, Tennessee Ben? We got about 2 minutes before we go our first break. How you doing, young man?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on. And like you said, I'm Tennessee Ben, originally out of Northwest Arkansas, but over here in the great state of Tennessee, just living it up.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really glad to have you on. I tried to get, I was trying to get a quart of water in a pint jar. I try to get so much in. Sometimes I probably talk too fast, but you know, we only have so much airtime, and you think 3 hours, oh, it's so long, but if we had 3 hours, we need four. If we had four, we need five.
Amen.
But I'm really excited. Quick. Yes, it does. Well, before we go to break, give them a little biography about yourself.
Well, I'm Ben, and I joined the Knights Party back in mid-2016, and over time, I've, you know, worked my way through a few of the ranks, currently holding a recruiter status, veteran of Charlottesville and of New Orleans, two great protests, good times down there. volunteer firefighter for 9 years and private contractor. So, you know, the Lord has blessed me to be able to reach out to brothers in the movement and do what I can to further our cause.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord has blessed me. I run into you. I wanted to have you on a lot earlier. Jason Robb mentioned you. He sent me some of your contact info some months ago. It's taking me this long to get around to it. But we'll be going to a break. In fact, here we're going to a break right now, Ben. Dear Blood River Radio people, Blood River Radio family, hang on. We'll come back. Maybe I can settle down. I need to give me a snort of good old Kentucky Moon. Because I'm really tripping. You might be able to see. Be right back, folks.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going right back to Tennessee. Ben, he's a very interesting man. To be 29 years old, he's accomplished a lot. Trying to fight for a few good people called white people, and unfortunately 90% of them I think are not worth fighting for, but I guess I'm getting too callous because I'm more than twice as old as Miss Teenage America and Tennessee Ben. And then some. So anyway, Tennessee, Ben, you said you were a nice party. I'll ask you a few questions. Then I want you to finish giving your bio, and I'm going to ask you a few questions about that before you open the Bombay doors.
Well, just, you know, pretty much, like I said, you know, with the volunteer fire department, the nice party actually got me involved in that. Matter of fact, Tom Bowie, who was on a couple shows ago, was my second fire chief. We had one before him, but when the nice party some of our staff had gotten in there, and we regrouped the fire department, and so Tom Bowie was my fire chief for a short bit, and while he was fire chief, and then I rode with him to Charlottesville in 2017, which was an amazing trip. It was a shit show, but it was an amazing trip.
You know, I barely remember. I went up there, and we were there for several days, but I can hardly remember anything about that. Seemed like I know it's in town. My first job I was a field reporter for Liberty News Radio, and I remember it got kind of violent a little bit, but do you remember anything other than that?
So we got, we got there early. We were there before any of the other groups showed up. I think me and Tom Bowie, we drove straight through. It was 18 hours of driving. We pulled up and had been on the road all night. And we walked up, and I was standing right there on the front of the monument. And as the state police were showing up, and I mean, there wasn't no other protesters there yet. I think there was maybe 15 people there tops. And I was back there at the backside of things with the what I like to call the heavy artillery. We retrieved a few gifts tossed to us from our beloved communists, and we just gave them right back to them, you know. But, you know, it was interesting to see all of that from the backside. You know, like Jacob and some of the other brothers who have been up, that were up there, they were in the heat of the moment in the very front, where I was towards the back helping these boys coming back there covered with bear spray. And, you know, we've got a mutual friend that he took some serious bear spray straight to the face, and so did Tom Bowie. He got a mouthful, and well, they lit him up.
Wow. I was so fortunate. You know, I was up there. I don't know if you know Michael Tubbs, the League of the South. The strangest thing, it was like I was in my own little cloud. I had my little sissy new suit on, my white shirt and tie and faggoty pants and new shoes and stuff. And I looked like a nerd, I guess. But I would go from the park out in with the crowding mob and act like I was interviewing them. Then I'd go back into the park, back and forth. It was strange. It was like the sea was parting. But I got this really hot crap on me, whatever it was, it was red and blue. But my sunglasses kept most of that junk out. But people were getting waylaid to my left, to my right, to the front of me, weird. I always in the rear, I always owe Michael Tubbs. I'm going to shut up. I can tell you this one thing. They're right on the front with the shield wall. They were holding this thing. It looked like a big, long sheet of, it was only about 3 feet. It's like a long, thick table. Well, they dropped that table because they were fighting. It slid down right in front of, oh, down my shins. You're talking about pain, laying on my feet. And then when it landed on my feet, they were on top of it, and they were fighting Antifa and BLM. And I was saying, get off my feet, get off my feet, get off my feet. And I bent down with a superhuman strength. And Michael Tubbs, I always owe him. Me and Michael Tubbs lifted that thing up off my feet, and I got my feet out. But, boy, I'm lucky it didn't break my feet, but break my toes and my bones and stuff. But give us a little bit more about that. Tell us a little bit more about Charlottesville. See, I didn't know you'd been to Charlottesville, but go ahead and continue on.
Well, you know, and it got really interesting. So when they I'll jump forward towards the end of the, you know, actually when the crap show started, you know, when they told us it was time to leave, and they started pushing everybody out, I ended up, you know, I didn't know anybody there except for a couple of the boys from the League of the South, Brother Tim Knowles, who's passed on.
Oh, yes.
And good man right there. Good man.
The best.
That
the
is
best.
My heart. Yes. He looked out for me really good that day. And, I was able to. I didn't know anybody there, and I spotted David Duke getting escorted, and I was walked over there. I had a shield that I'd acquired from, I think, one of the League of the South guys. So I just walking behind David Duke holding that shield up like, okay, I'm just going to go with the flow here and try to get out. And I eventually found my way back to the car, but I tell you what, it was, you didn't want to be the guy walking around with a Confederate flag on them streets trying to figure out where the heck you was.
That
I
happened
was
to
very
me.
Go ahead. I was very fortunate that I did not get sprayed. I did get covered on the front of me with a bear spray from a good brother of mine. He got covered, and I ended up carrying some of his stuff back to the vehicle, and we managed to get out of town before they swept in. I think that was kind of in the midst of when the whole car wreck was going on and that whole mess. And we ended up, went to the park that they had fenced in where they were trying to trap everybody.
McIntyre Park.
We went up there to McIntyre Park, and it was sketchy up there, man. It was a bad feeling when you walk in there.
So yes, it was. I was there with you, brother.
I got out of there as quick as I could, and I was like, well, you know, worst case is I did have enough sense to plan ahead that the clothes underneath my camo jacket were politically neutral. That way, if I had to ditch my jacket and flag and blend in for life's sake, you know, I could. Of course, I carried the firearm with me up there, but my carry permit wasn't valid in Virginia, so I ended up leaving my gun in the vehicle. So I was like, okay, I've got a hickory staff that my flag's tied to, and that's about it. And yeah,
well, I'll tell you, there was a few firearms up there.
Yeah,
continue up.
Yeah,
go ahead, Ben.
Clan dude, I forget what organization he was from, wasn't any of our guys, that was up there. I was up there with them holding a sign up. I think it was the diversity is a code word for white genocide. We held that banner up in front of the monument. And, I believe he's the one that discharged a firearm into the crowd and got arrested. And I never heard anything else after that, but, like I said, I don't know anything about him, so I can't vouch for his character or anything, but he did have a negligent discharge into the crowd.
Were you close enough to see it? Because I'm curious, did it have any effect on the howling mob, if you were close enough to see it?
No, it pretty much just landed him a felony and made us look bad.
Wow, okay, I'll tell you. Now, I know.
Unfortunate.
There was a few firearms there, and I know a few people. I'll stop right there. But, you know. Do you know R.G. Miller? Did you know him?
I do. Yes. Matter of fact, he lost his job to going to Charlottesville. He had a really good job making some big bucks, and he lost his job due to Charlottesville and ended up having to move to get new work.
I hate that because R.G. Miller, I recognized him. And as you well know, there was just mass chaos. And I was up with Michael Tubbs and people like that. I'd go back and forth. And I got separated. I was with a group, Rich Hamblin, and Simon Rose didn't come there because he's from South Africa. There was some kind of political thing he was afraid to get involved in. We also had Gene Andrews and Matt Goodwin and Rich Hamblin. I rode up there with them, and I got separated from them, and I recognized RG. And I asked him, I said, hey, what's that going on? He said, well, we're going to this park because we're going to try to reassemble, and the speaker's going to try to be there and try to do some speakers. But did you see – there was a deuce and a half, what we used to call them when I was in the Army, and several of them with the state troopers and National Guardsmen, and they were blaring out on the bullhorn, you've got to vacate this park. There's national. So that I had to leave.
I've seen them right in my face. They were mean in business.
You got that right, Hoss. Well, what's funny?
I'm not one to tuck tail and run. You know that about me, but. I put it this way, 2.5-ton axles on that thing. I've got one of them trucks. They weigh about 16,000 pounds. And on top of that, with the amount of manpower they had on there, I wasn't planning to protest that one.
No, because they would have shot us down like dogs. Of course, they wouldn't do the dark skin brethren, though. What's funny, I was there at this, I say old lady, hell, I was 70 years old then. And this older lady, I'll tell you about it. She had a Confederate battle flag hat on, and I tried to walk her back to the garage. I'll tell you what happened. Be right back, people. We'll finish the story. Be right back, folks.
Listening to Liberty News Radio. Financial Group is not a law firm.
If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results has made Wesley a trusted resource for over 40,000 families we've helped get out of their timeshare. Give us a call and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about your timeshare and all of your options for cancellation.
Call for your free info kit. 800-885-3333. That's 800-885-3333. 800-885-3333.
Majority of California voters favor a new bill that would crack down on crime.
According to a survey from the Public Policy Institute of California, nearly three-quarters of the California electorate plans to vote in favor of Proposition 36. The high-profile ballot measure will increase penalties for some theft and drug-related crimes. Republican Congressman Kevin Kiley happily writing on X, a new PPIC poll shows Prop 36, the measure to make crime illegal again, is leading by a margin of 73% to 25%. Sanity is around the corner. Bob Agner reporting.
Delta Airlines suing the cybersecurity firm that's been blamed for causing a global technology outage last summer. Delta filing suit against CrowdStrike, saying the company caused it to lose more than $500 million, that because thousands of flights were canceled. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Authorities in Italy arresting one of that country's most wanted drug traffickers.
It was back in 2020 that Luigi Belvedere went on the run. The 34-year-old was then sentenced in his absence to more than 18 years in jail. That apparently did not deter him. Police say he continued to ship cocaine from South America to Europe. But they had a photograph of Belvedere posing by the tomb of the late Pablo Escobar, perhaps Colombia's most notorious gang leader, who came from the city of Medellin. And it was in Medellin that Belvedere was finally caught and arrested on Thursday night.
Thieves with a nose for fine cheese, pulling off a massive cheddar ripoff in London. The dairy says a con artist posing as a wholesale distributor from France made off with 48,000 pounds of award-winning cheddar. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom. And that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have a lesson. Dear Blood River Radio family, I am having an absolute ball with this young man. He's just barely born. He's so young. He's only 29 years old. Tennessee Ben. Any of you ladies out there, I decided to go into the matchmaking business on the side to get some extra money for Blood River Radio. This man, we'll put a picture of him up on our website. We'll have him, you know, doing his muscle pose and everything. Listen, he's got a house in Arkansas, got a house on Tennessee River.
Just look up Popcorn Sutton. That's what I look like.
Popcorn said, yes, he's a good-looking dude, girls. Listen, if y'all hook up now, you need to send me a $100 check for Blood River Radio because this is my, you know, my new matchmaking business. But anyway with that, Tennessee Ben, I have to reel my old butt back down to earth. Tell us a little about if you want to finish up the top of Charlottesville. But you were also, I'm very impressed, you were at the Battle of New Orleans. And that's when I lost my taste for Oath Keepers. See, I used to be a big member of the Oath Keepers, and they turned out to be, kind of like self-hating white people, you know. But go ahead.
Lack of better words for the Oath Keepers, and I guess this will be my, in the words of Miss Nancy, my tar and feather, and that's the Oath Keepers. They are the gayest, pardon my language, faggots when it comes to the movement. They're just weak. They're weak. They want to hide behind everybody, and yeah, they're just weak. I ain't got nothing good to say for them boys. But
you know what?
Yeah,
I found out. Go ahead. Yeah, well, I'll say this. Well, then we had one of my dear friends, rest his soul, he died. It'll be 2 years ago this month. Lee Cochran. Lee Cochran and I were two of the founding members of Oath Keepers here in Shelby County, Tennessee, and it went south fast. In 4 months' time, we were out of it. You're absolutely right. They're faggoty ass. They really are. And I'm like you. We need the tar and feather. But anyway, I don't want to interrupt you anymore, but go ahead, Tennessee good. Ben.
And, you know, there was good. I'll give them this. They had good intentions in the beginning. It was just they wanted numbers over quality. And I don't care about numbers. Numbers don't mean anything. We need quality. Jumping back towards the Battle of New Orleans, that was my first hands-on, like face-to-face street warfare. And it was an absolutely fun protest. The counterparts on that one were actually a little more enjoyable to be around, which is hard to say for the left. But, when we got down there, I was able to get up on the monument at the base of the pedestal start. And we were able to look out over that whole circle there. And when that mob come around that corner down there, you could see them coming from about three blocks away. And it was a mob, and the stench was ungodly. Like, you know, when you walk up to a barn that has hogs in it and you open the door, that hot stench that hits you in the face? It was worse than that. It was worse than that. There was this one hippie there. And his hair was a single dread that was about 6 foot long, and it looked like it had living creatures in it. I mean, it was,
damn.
I swear he had maggots in his hair. But that was, it was crazy. And of course there was a lot going on there in New Orleans that day, because they had multiple monuments that were being protested at. So there wasn't much law enforcement presence. And the thing I liked about that one, I felt like we actually made a lot of groundway with some of the white folks that were on the wrong side of the fence. And we had a few colored boys on our side of the fence fighting for our cause, which, I mean, I'm fine with them sticking their head out there. I don't want them to marry my daughter, and, you know my feelings on them. But you know, if they want to be our, the worm on the hook, you know, disposable, I'm fine with that for a few moments, but, we got down there and we were having some comebacks back and forth with the commies. And at one point, the black dude that was, I'm going to say about 5 yards to my right, he was getting at it with this communist girl. And the dude that was with the communist girl said choice words to her. And he jumped the fence along with three other guys and said, anybody got a Confederate flag I can fly? And I thought that was hilarious because, wow. I mean, we had them dropping their views and jumping the fence at one point. And, you know, there were several of them that were casually open-minded to, hearing what we had to say. Now, of course, that was two or three people out of, 1,500 people that come down the street?
Wow.
It wasn't Charlottesville big, but it was entertaining. After it was over, we're like, all right, we've said our piece, you said our piece. Everybody just walked away. I mean, I didn't see but maybe two fights. Now, I'm not saying there weren't more than that, but I personally didn't see any bad-blooded altercations other than just people yelling back and forth, which it was mainly us laughing at the left who was calling us Nazis, and we're like, oh, well, thank you.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Let me ask you a quick question, because this goes back to some of the stuff I saw in Charlottesville. You mentioned that it looked like the dude had maggots in his hair. That reminds me. I've saw a few people in Charlottesville, and it had a really weird odor, like I had never smelled before. It wasn't like pig pens, a particular one. One of them came from this. There were several girls there with different, it was green and yellow and orange paint. In their eyes, mm-hmm. You could look, and they look really eerie in their eyes. I've had an opinion here. I'm going to ask you, do you think those people were demon-possessed, some of those people?
Oh, for sure. It's a matter of just looking at the left. 90% of these hardcore leftist women are proud to call themselves witches. And I mean, that. I'm not going to say every single one of them is a practicing witch, but my goodness, the left loves to be on the demonic Satan worshiping, I'm a witch type of personality. And, you know, for sure, I guarantee you they were possessed.
That was what my first impression of these people. Before I leave Charlottesville, I'll mention one funny thing. There was this big woman. She wasn't fat. She looked very athletic, very fit. I'm going to say she was, I'm not a tall guy at all. I'm going to say she was bumping 6 feet, right around there, probably 175. She's just well muscled. But she met her match. She came running out of the crowd, screaming like a banshee. She made the fatal mistake of running into Ike Baker. Ike Baker probably weighed 330 pounds, 350. Huge, huge. And she bounced off him like a damn ping pong ball.
And was, I guarantee you she did.
She got her feet, just her face stepped. We were just stepping on her butt. We taught her a lesson she'll never forget. But, I mean, that's what happened to her. Well, I believe the way she was screaming, and I mean, they were like that. I mean, they were just, by God, crazy. They really were. I guess we can move on if you're through. Do you have anything else to say about New Orleans or Charlottesville, Big Ben?
Not right off the top of my head.
Okie doke. Well, I don't think we have time to play that video clip. We have a clip. I'll tell you what. You said a few things about the Oath Keepers and about three mm-hmm. people out of 1,500 that came to your aid, and how weak the Oath Keepers are.
Oh yeah.
Well, that reminds me. Go ahead.
I will go ahead and use their stage names, and that is my brother who goes by Charles Martel online. Great dude. He covered my rear. I helped him when he got covered with Mace. Brother Tim Knowles, rest in peace, brother.
Yes.
He covered me majorly up there at Charlottesville. So I had worked a 12-hour shift in a die-cast factory prior to the 18-hour drive to Charlottesville. Now, I had maybe an hour nap. So I went, about 30 hours with no sleep and protested there, or was at the battle. So by the time, you remember when they had the after party? We'll come back to you.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm glad you heard the music. Folks, we'll be right back with Tennessee Ben. I'm having a wonderful, wonderful time with this young man. So hang on to your seats. Be right back.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm really having a good time on this hour. This, it's Tennessee Ben. We found a keeper, buddy. He's hope he keeps us, but he's really good. I'm really enjoying this. Tennessee Ben. Let's continue on. What you said you first got in the Knights movement in 2016, did you say?
I joined the organization in 2016. Of course, growing up in Harrison, Arkansas, there's always the back shadow of, oh, Tom Ross, the Grand Dragon. And, so I knew of him from a young age. But I moved to Indianapolis for a few years. From about the time I was 15, 16 years old, all the way up until I was 20. I lived in Indianapolis, and, those feral Negroes up there will make you racist if you weren't. Growing up with, a Mennonite background and, always being used to the pacifist, quiet lifestyle, when you move into Indianapolis and you wake up at 3 a.m. with the sound of fireworks, and it's not fireworks going off, you tend to start to get opinions. And then about the time Obama hit office, I started realizing what was going on and really waking up to mainly the black problem in Indianapolis. And I'll top it off and say, not even just say just the blacks, but fatherless scumbag mentality. You know, we get these, the heroin up there is a horrible issue. I've seen many, many people lose wives, families, jobs to the frickin' drugs brought in to these, by these ferals. And, you know, I just, it made me sick. And, you know, of course I worked up there. So I get to work, I put my headphones in and I'd start listening to the Knights Party podcast. At that time, Blood River Radio didn't exist. I believe I listened to the Political Cesspool some, was real big on Stormfront. I loved getting on Stormfront back when it was still a thing. And
yes.
Yeah, that was kind of my awakening to the issue with the Negroes, and then, of course, the big issue of the Jews. And it wasn't until when I moved back to Arkansas in early 2016 that I started seeing more of what was going on with the Jews. I was aware, but I wasn't 100% on board. Of course, not like you said, your grandfather's Hermann Göring. He was my great-great-grandfather.
Yep, when we were up at the Montgomery Bell, I was going to, we were doing a program up there, and there was some kind, something going on up there. It could have been the Solutions Conference, whatever it was. But, you know, the fags behind the wire, the little sissy fags in the Antifa, they scream that out. I'll never forget that. Oh, are you a neo-Nazi? You're a neo-Nazi, aren't you? I said, hell no, I'm not a neo-Nazi. I am, by God, the real deal. I am the prototype Nazi. My grandfather was Hermann freaking Göring, for God's sakes, you know.
Yep.
And I was ready to get it on, buddy. And they had the park police there. They had sheriff's deputies. And they were just stiff and stoic. But when we got completely out of the way where the BLM and Antifa fags couldn't hear, they was laughing their ass off. They said, this guy right here threw it right back in their face. He was a, by God, he was a, you know, the Nazi. But that's, oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, that bounces off me like sawdust off of a charging bull elephant. So, you know, that's interesting. You're one, being your age, did you go through public schools?
No, sir. Nope. I was homeschooled my entire life. Graduated, went straight to work. I've let my license lapse from moving to Arkansas. In Arkansas, I was a licensed EMR, emergency medical responder. I've been certified for search and rescue, and, you know, in all the certs you can get in the search and rescue fire department line of work. And that's something I want to shout out to these listeners. If you're able-bodied, go out there, get on your local fire departments, get those certifications. They're free. They will give you EMT certifications. You'll be able to take care of all the wounds you can imagine, birthing babies, how to tell signs of stroke, all that. You can get that stuff free just by going and being part of your volunteer firefighter community. Get in there, get yourself in your communities, get network with your local people. They don't have to believe 100% like you, but make those connections, because when crap hits the fan, you need to know how to patch holes. You need to know how to take care of your people and get connected with like-minded people. That's something I've been wanting to get out there. And, you know, for the preppers out there, when it comes to prepping, it's not about how much ammo. Remember, if you're putting holes in stuff, you're probably going to get holes put in you. Plan ahead. Have tourniquets. Have bandages. It's not about having guns and body armor. It's about having food. It's about having bandages and medicine. There's so much more than just saving ammo. But that's my rant right there.
No, you know what? That's a wonderful piece of advice you've given people. You're way ahead of the curve for your age, that's for sure, Tennessee, Ben. I might just start calling you Tennessee. But because my grandmother on my dad's side, his mom, her name was Tennessee Kazee. Now, she was an old Tennessee girl, and my grandfather wound up marrying her because he was from Bloody Breath of County, Kentucky. And but they got together, and yeah, she was a. I've been told she was German. Most of the people on my dad's side, my grandfather was probably put Scotch Irish. There's been some debate on what his real name was, but anyway, that's we'll just call you Tennessee. You know, so you said the reason I ask you if you went to, you know what, I will bet had you gone to public schools, Ben, I would say you would probably. Totally, I would guarantee you. You would, I'd say there was about an 80% chance you would be a totally different person. You are. You would be a communist, probably a Satan worshiper. You would hate yourself. You would be like these people, like these Antifa we bought up there in Charlottesville, because. That's the reason I ask you, because the public school system now. It's just a training ground for a little Satanist, a little communist. Name your poison sponsor. And all you have to do is think, well, who's running these schools? Well, if you go all the way up, if you follow the end of the line, it'll wind up to the Jews. And if you, like we've said this 1,000 times before, St. John 8:44, Jesus told them, he told the Jews, unlike these Baptist preachers that tell them that they pray to the Jews, they pray to Israel almost, they worship these damn Jews. But Jesus Christ, I think that's who we name our religion after, Jesus, Christians. Yes. But he told them they were their father, the devil. And so if you want to know what the devil does, look around at these Antifa and stuff. So that's where that's kind of a rabbit trail. But you're very fortunate that you were homeschooled.
Oh, yeah. To hop on that rabbit trail briefly, when these people say, well, you know, the Bible says worship Israel, you know, support Israel or he'll turn his back on you. He's not talking about the country Israel. The country Israel didn't exist until, 46? He is talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you turn your back on your brothers and sisters in Christ, that is what he's talking about. And we are Israel. Not the Judeo make believe Palestine.
I mean, you know, it's so plain to see, that they're not God's chosen people. I mean, we did a program where we played a clip with a Green Beret captain, former Green Beret captain, I forget his name there. He was an Italian name, but if I had that clip, we won't play it tonight. But he worked with them up close and personal. He was with the highest ranking American officer to sign to Israel. They call them liaisons. He was the chief liaison. He was with the aide of the chief liaison. He got to go. In the areas, he said Tel Aviv was kind of whitewashed, that they got it cleaned. It's, and you won't see any bad stuff there because they keep it pretty good for the tourist. But he said he went out in the area in the countryside where the rape and the murder was going on, and they were just, you know, butchering the people in the countryside. They're the most horrible satanic people you could possibly imagine. Matter of fact, he wrote a book. I didn't know it about it. I saw it, I think, just today. And I think the title of his book, if I remember right, is John 8:44. And it's I would like to get a copy of that book. We're almost getting ready to go to the break. When we come back, we will switch gears, and I'm going to go off on something you said. I'll take off. We'll drop a little napalm because we're probably going to bring, I didn't know how long. You're doing great. In fact, where's the break? If I'd known you were going to go this good, we wouldn't contact anybody else, but Tom Bowie's probably going to bring him in on about midway through the second hour. Be right back, folks. Hang in your seats.